The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Wednesday. It is March 27th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7 on what is just a perfect day in Auburn and Opelika. Sun is shining. There is literally not a cloud in the sky, and it is just a gorgeous day here on the plains. Once again, so much on the show today. Going to break it all down for you coming up for the next 2 hours. Uncle T-Bones with me back in the studio on this Wednesday. Hello, sir. How are you on this sunny day in Auburn?
Oh, I'm doing well, Jacob. Excuse my voice, everyone. These pollen and allergies, I think, have finally wrecked my sinuses once and for all this spring. It happens once a year. Hopefully this won't last too much longer. So excuse me for sounding like somebody associated with the Corleone family. And give us a ring if you don't mind. 334-321-1390, whatever's on your mind. I'm sure we got a little basketball cleanup still left to do. Mm-hmm. And football's beginning to kind of come front and center again with spring practice, Sweet 16 ongoing. Had a little NIT last night. We'll talk to our man Jordan Hill with Dogs 247 about. So, like I said, the phone number is 334-321-1390. Give us a call here at On the Line, the show that tells it like it is, Jacob.
And holds nothing back, and we fully plan to do that once again today. And you mentioned it there. That's how I want to start the show because, you know, Monday was a hot show. It was. Monday was hot, and we were hot.
A lot of
listeners
emotion.
Were hot. Lots of emotion, and understandably so. Yesterday was a good show. I know you weren't here, but you were listening, and yesterday was good. Double D was with us yesterday in the second hour, and he had a lot of interesting things to say as well. Well, we got news yesterday that I talked about a little bit with KD Johnson entering the transfer portal, and look, that's not a surprise for this Auburn team, for this Auburn program. It's something that we pretty much fully expected for numerous guys to hit the portal. It was just which ones was it going to be? And I don't think this is the only one that's going to happen. And, you know, now that it's been a couple of days, it hurts because I wish we were moving forward and starting to talk about the Sweet 16, right? Because that gets going tomorrow. The Sweet 16 is back up tomorrow and Friday, and then the Elite Eight on Saturday, Sunday, and we'll have a Final Four set come Monday afternoon. And the word that I continue to use is disappointing, but look, the season's over, and so now it's time to realize, okay, it was a disappointing end. It didn't go the way we wanted it to, but where do we go from here? And that's the conversation I began having yesterday. And I do want to kind of wrap up the round of 64 performance, right? How the season ended, and begin to talk about, okay, what is this team going to look like next year? What is this roster going to look like? What's coming in? What could be going out? And what could still be coming in via the transfer portal? All of those are questions that Bruce Pearl and Auburn have to figure out right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I'm ready to move on from it as well. I felt like Monday was a failing of the souls for Auburn people, for Auburn and people in the media. I would like to clarify a few things that I said on Monday. First of all, I never called for Bruce Pearl or that staff to be canned. That's ridiculous. Just because there was criticism of Coach Pearl and the Auburn program, and I use a colorful language, and I use a lot of I don't know, references that most people don't quite sometimes get my sense of humor on. There is never a doubt in my mind that Auburn needs to proceed with Coach Pearl until Coach Pearl doesn't want to be the head coach of Auburn basketball anymore. I got a couple of texts after the show, people saying, I mean, what do you want, the guy gone, Uncle T-Bone? That's ridiculous. Nobody wants that. Nobody said that.
Right.
Okay. And what I did say, though, is I do think there needs to be some changes in the roster. And I think that the coaching staff – and that's already happening. And I think this coaching staff needs to kind of take a good look at itself in the mirror, and I trust this staff to do it, to kind of get – what was the rotation system exactly what we needed this year? Or at times, can we change that and try and pivot in a game against Yale? Because like I heard Daryl Dappridge say this yesterday, that rotation system failed against Yale. And I know CBM got thrown out of the game, and that disrupted everything. It was a major disruptor. But, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of some younger guys like Todd Golden latch onto the staff when he was here, mm-hmm. see if we can't do a little bit different type of offensive strategy when we need to. I just felt like that we got stuck in the same old thing that we normally do against Yale, and it didn't work this time.
Yeah, and that's something that I've talked about for a long time is, look, everybody always talks about on the broadcasts and in the media and everything, Bruce Pearl running the flex offense, right? He has ran the same system his entire career. The entire career. He has ran the exact same system with the exact same player type of players in the exact same way. But at what point do you have to say, okay, we've got to throw in a few wrinkles here to make sure that the teams can't prepare for us.
Yeah, and that's what Daryl said.
Yeah, right? That's exactly what he said.
He said Yale was very prepared for that rotation. And when CBM came out, it kind of nullified that extra man or two that you have an advantage when you're wearing a team out, like Auburn has done all season. So I'm with you. I think that's going to happen. I trust in Coach Bruce Pearl. There wasn't a happier fan in Auburn when he was hired, and there won't be a sadder fan the day that I'll compete with somebody on the day that he retires. I think he's the man at Auburn. I think Auburn's got the right man for the job. But some of the stuff I want to hear moving forward is, how are we going to get back to the Final Four and compete for a national championship? Because I really strongly feel like that's where we are as a program. The expectations have been raised. This just getting to the NCAA tournament is not good enough, especially if you're going to go one and done against Yale. We're that good of a program, folks. Get behind it, and let's get to that championship level. And demanding that also, I want to clarify something, Jacob. Does it mean that I think that if we don't win a national championship in every sport, every single season, that the season is a massive failure? That's the absolutely furthest from the truth. But I do think it's an important mentality for Auburn people in all sports to embrace, from the athletic department to the fan, that, you know what, the goal here every single season is not just to beat Alabama, it's not just to win a division if they still have those, it's not just to win the SEC, but it's to win the national championship. That's the mentality. I know it's not realistic to do it every year, but I don't hear enough talk about it.
334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Andy, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, where you go, guys? Hey, Friday, when I quickly talked to y'all when you were at that cool bar, I said there's going to be a couple SEC teams that go out first that first night, and the only difference is if it's Auburn, at least we won that SEC. So, unfortunately, it was, but we weren't alone. Second, you know, Coach Pearl, I didn't get that from y'all at all. If anyone does want him gone because of that, I will give you my full name and address, and you can come to my house, because I was screaming, don't do it to Gus Malzahn. Not that I was a huge fan, but I was just like, we're not going to fire him and turn in Alabama. We're going to fire him and we're going to turn in Tennessee. And we went worse than Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Andy, with Gus Malzahn, that was the right call, because the powers to be just didn't really have a plan for after they decided to relieve him of his duties.
What do you mean that was the right call?
Like you saying it was the right call not to get rid of him, and I'm saying it was the right call just strictly because the powers to be didn't have a plan when they decided to relieve him of his duties, and it turned into a fiasco.
Not only that, let's add C to it, where we paid him like $19 million.
To not work.
Yeah, I agree. Right. I agree with that. That's ridiculous.
We had a Bo Nix, That one against, you know, Oregon his first year. I mean, I was just like, give him three more years. Let Bo, because when I was in college, we had, in 99, went to play quarterback for Redskins.
Jason Campbell, right? I believe that his first full season at Auburn was in 2000, but I'd have, you know, I'd have to ask Coach Don Dunn about that.
Okay. Well, I was drinking a lot back then.
you and me both, brother.
So all I know is we had this young guy, and he wasn't that good. And his last year, he turned it on. And I was also playing rugby at the time, and I, you know, saw players that weren't that good that turned it on. In the military, they weren't that great as little ROTC freshmen their senior year. They were like Patton. And I just learned at the age 22 that when you become a senior, you can really change. And that's why I was like, just get Bo Nix till senior. He'll be fine. And so when we let Gus go next year, I mean, it's just the dominoes. I'm sitting there like, I knew this, and I'm not even that smart. How did no one else? So lastly, with Coach Pearl, I've called, and I just love him. But that doesn't mean he's untouchable. We can't talk about it.
Bingo.
The one thing I want to talk about with Coach Pearl is a couple games, especially about a month ago, I was telling the guys I watched the game with about Chad Baker. I go, I love this guy, but he's going to be the reason we lose an important game all by himself. He has that kind of personality. And so when he went out like this, I was like, maybe that was the time. My thing is, when I was a teacher, I was only a teacher for 4 years, but I could tell, maybe it was just through life in the military, I could tell which kids to let go of the bathroom and which, you know, they're not really going to the bathroom. They're going to go roam the halls, you know, and I would have talks with them or I'd supervise them. It seemed like this year we had a good team, but they just were not emotionally mature at times where when they got down, occasionally they came back. I think South Carolina or some game they came back pretty good, but is Coach Pearl sitting down, or is there a coach that sits down and go, hey, you know, be good this game. If they come at you, don't lose your cool. Don't be hot-headed. Or is it just, are they such buddies and trust each other, which is good, but I'm seeing more of that where they just trust the players. They're adults. Go out there. Maybe they're focusing on, like, workplace stuff, like sexual harassment, not texting and not posting pictures that they don't have time to teach, you know, to practice basketball, all that stuff, and then, you know, try to cool their tempers. And I get that. That makes sense. I just talked myself out of that argument.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying. I do. I get what you're saying, and there are some things where, look, Bruce Pearl and this staff have been excellent, and, yeah, there have been some things where I think they have slacked off on, and not even slacked off, maybe just, you know, didn't reach the expectation. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Got it. All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Andy. Appreciate it, man. 334-321-1390. And I think he's on to something. And look, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect at their job. We like to think we're pretty good at it, but nobody's perfect. And no matter what you do, radio or pest control or whatever, right? I mean, it just, nobody is perfect at what they do. But you've got to find those areas and you have to improve on those day after day, week after week, and year after year. And especially as a coach, which is extremely difficult to do because you're coaching a new team every year. You are teaching just like a teacher, right? Just like Andy was talking about as a teacher. Like, you have a new group of kids every year that you have to command and try to teach lessons and grow and make them better at what they do. But with this Auburn team, what were the things that we heard and really saw all year long was they love playing together. They love each other on and off the floor. They're just having a good time. This is one of the best teams I've ever coached, as Bruce Pearl said, right? But then, yeah, you got in situations where you would have guys complaining too much about foul calls or lack thereof, or couldn't get away from physical or vocal confrontation and just couldn't keep their head on their shoulders when they had to do it, right? They couldn't keep their cool in certain situations. And I think everybody saw this coming with Chad Baker-Mazzara, which is really unfortunate because the few times that I've talked to him in the media, whether it be the availabilities we got throughout the week or in press conferences post-game, like, he was a very nice, polite, well-spoken guy. And he just has that side of him. And a lot of players, if you're an athlete or a former athlete, you know what I'm talking about here. You just have that little extra edge when you get in competition, And sometimes it can be a little too much. And sometimes it gets the best of you. And that's what happened with Chad Baker-Mazzara. Nobody's confused on what happened here, right? We're not saying anything that you don't already know. Again, it's just it happened at the worst possible time.
Jacob, some people say that about me, about being on radio. I'm a little edgy on the radio, but just the nicest guy off the air you've ever seen in your life. So
I would agree with that.
I'd like to thank Andy also for coming out there and seeing us at the Plaza Bar. We're going to have a couple more live remotes moving forward. So, Andy, please always come see us. You're one of our favorite callers. Man, it's good to see you and your family. Thank you so much for being out there. The Plaza Bar is awesome. So
yeah, we got a lot of remotes coming
out. Golly, we do, and it's just a lot of fun. It looks like some of our people we're introducing to are just moving all over the state too, with Uncle Keith been all over Doug's show today. That was wonderful too.
Keep that in mind.
People just putting people together. That's exactly what we do here. We had a lot of that on Monday. Man, it just sounds like to me that he was saying that CBM is kind of one of those kids you just wouldn't let roam the halls. But he thinks that Bruce Pearl is just letting him roam the halls.
Well, I mean, what have we always heard players say? Somebody brought it up yesterday. Is Bruce Pearl lets them play their way? They let them do their. He lets them do their thing. I think there's a lot of trust between Bruce Pearl and his players. And that's something that when it's going well, it's fantastic. Right. But when it starts to not work, bad things happen.
You can let all of that go and do pretty much be yourself, fly your freak flag, whatever it is you do good during the regular season. And that's what I'm talking about. When you get into tournament time, though,
you've got to lock it up. Yep.
You got to lock it in, and you got to flip the switch, and you also got to have had something you've been holding back all year to release in that moment when you have and you must have a W. And it's sad to say we would have had to do that against Yale. It shouldn't have been that way. Auburn should be able to beat Yale by 20. I guarantee if they played today, they'd wreck them. But it just so happened, all the circumstances started going in the wrong direction. And at that point, it's like that movie, We Were Soldiers, right? Broken arrow. It's time for something. The last thing we got.
Yeah.
And we just didn't quite see that. I think there was almost a little bit too much trust in the guys to put the game away. And I do like how Bruce Pearl does put it in the players' hands. But when they're struggling, Coach, you got to come up with something, and it's got to be the best you got to have some type of pivot just to get over the hump and win that game and move on.
It's really hard for coaches that have been around the game for a long time to adjust, to change the way they do things. Some have been able to do it, and I'm not just talking basketball. Some have been able to do it, and some can't.
I'll tell you who did it in football, and he did it for a long time, and that's Nick Saban. You tell me he was the same coach with the same type of offensive and defensive philosophies, at least maybe offensive. He probably was same defensively.
Yeah.
But he adjusted to the spread defensively.
But in
that guy made so in 2003 and 2004 when he was at LSU. Do you think that type of offense or defense looked like anything that he had in 2023 and 2024? Absolutely not. So, you know, you gotta take a hard look in the mirror and say, you know, next time we get in this situation against a team like Yale or whomever, and we've got to have a win, what are we going to do to make sure we don't get one and done like we did last year or in the year of 2024?
What are we going to do differently?
That's
the question. What are we going to do differently?
How are we going to adapt?
Correct.
How are we going to overcome? You know, what's it going to look like? And what's the trigger that we realize, okay, normally what we do is not working, even though we got a 10-point lead. What's the trigger to say, time to go to the new way, real quickly?
Conversations that are going to be had all offseason long. We'll talk some more about this and other basketball and maybe some football news as well. And then Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will join us at 2:30. That's coming up, but we still got some time. If you want to join us, 334-321-1390. Back after this on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7. Got a few more minutes before we get to our bottom of the hour break. Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 will be joining us. It's been a couple of weeks since we've talked to him, but we'll get him back in here and get updated on everything going on with Georgia athletics. How about that Georgia basketball team running through the NIT right now, man? I know not many people keep up with the not-in tournament, but Georgia, that's as much as people make fun of the NIT, myself included. For a team like Georgia, that's a perfect place for them to be under Mike White, because now they're building some confidence, they're building some rapport, and they're going to be a dangerous squad if they get some talent in there.
Yeah, I mean, that was a red-hot Ohio State team that they played last night at Ohio State and took care of business 79-77, the Dogs.
That was a good game.
It was a good basketball game to watch.
I
watched it, too. I got home a little late and caught all of the second half. My youngest son was watching the game because he's basketball crazy right now, just like we all are during March Madness.
Love it.
And he was like, Dad, the NCAA tournament's on. I was like, no, son, it's not. But it's the NIT. And I had to explain
Dogs fans.
Yeah, I had to explain to him what the NIT meant. It's the National Invitational Tournament.
Is that how you would describe it?
And I told him it's the tournament for the teams that just aren't quite good enough to make the big dance. And
yeah.
he totally understood. And it was an excellent basketball game. I think people know that listen to the show. I think the world of Mike White. I think he's a really good dude and a really great coach. And he's got Georgia headed in the right direction. And, hey, you know, I mean, don't laugh, Auburn fans. I know it's not the same thing, but they're still playing basketball and we're not.
Well, speaking of that, did you see the Georgia basketball Twitter account like a week ago when Auburn lost in the NCAA tournament?
No.
And they when Auburn lost to Yale, the Georgia basketball Twitter account, I don't know what intern was running it that day, but they probably got fired because they tweeted out, and when they were trying to make a joke, and they said, "We were preparing for our NIT basketball game. What did we miss?" Question mark with like the smirk emoji after Auburn lost, and people lit them up. It's like,
that's just tacky.
What are you doing? Like, you're making fun of your rival who just made the NCAA tournament while you're preparing for the NIT. Come on, man.
Yeah.
they got lit up. It was really bad.
Yeah, that's just in poor taste. But give it up for Georgia. If you're going to play a game, you play to win no matter what it is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Georgia in the Final Four along with Indiana State in the National Invitational Tournament. And Georgia will face the winner between Seton Hall and UNLV. A lot of people thought that Seton Hall team and Indiana State team should have been in the NCAA tournament. On the other side of that, Indiana State will play the winner between Virginia Commonwealth, and it looks like Utah. So, and all that'll go down obviously next week in the Final Four. I believe that they have that, or they used to have that in Madison Square Garden.
They used to. I'm not sure if they still do anymore.
Now,
I don't know the answer to that.
Preseason NIT also, because there used to be a preseason NIT, and that was actually, and a lot of teams would go play in that, kind of like those Aloha Classics or whatever that teams would go play in. And it was actually, the joke was, if you won the preseason NIT, it was much more prestigious than winning the postseason.
Well, I think they used to have, it was one of those, one of those non-conference tournaments where it was a bunch of the former NIT teams, or it was I can't remember, but there was something like that. It's one of those November tournaments. You
now,
know?
If Georgia wins this thing, do they hang a banner?
Oh, God.
In Stegman Coliseum.
The question of the day.
10 years from now, I'd like to get that 2020. Everybody get it up for the 2024. You remember that team that was number one in everybody's heart?
That team that made a run through the NIT.
Champions. That's right. Mike White, stand up.
Oh, my gosh.
He'd be like over there with his head down.
Come out there and start sizing people for rings for the NIT. Oh, my goodness. There's no way.
Get a ring, Georgia.
Hey. Championships are championships, I guess.
Hey, you got to take what you can get, I guess, when you've been as bad as they have in basketball. But I think they're on the right track.
I really do. Yeah, I do too. So I'm excited to talk to Jordan Hill about that. Also, spring practice getting underway for Georgia football. Plus, they got a bunch of guys that are going to be in the NFL draft coming up in just a few weeks. So excited for all of that. We'll talk to Jordan Hill about that coming up in just a few minutes. Then, we also, later on in the show, we got to take a look at the Sweet 16 matchups and make our picks, because that does begin tomorrow. You won't be with me on Thursdays, but we'll make our picks for that as well.
Jacob, real quick, just got a text from our good friend Doug Amos in Montgomery. He's listening. In case you wanted to know, folks, the NIT Final Four is in Indianapolis in Hinkle Fieldhouse. I mean,
there you go.
Is that where Hickory and Gene Hackman from Hoosiers played in the state championship?
That's in the football stadium, man. How about that? There you go. The more you know.
I guarantee if there's a line on it, some people want to know what's going on.
There's a group of our fans, and I know want to know what that line is. And well, don't you worry. We'll keep you updated on the NIT odds when those start coming.
We're going to have an NIT Final Four show Monday. How's that sound?
Oh, my gosh. We'll have...
I'm all in.
I know you are. I'm not, but you can be. Jordan Hill, Dogs 247, coming up next.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle Tebow, and I'm Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7. Been a little bit since we've talked to this guy, but excited to bring him back on the show. It's Jordan Hill of Dogs 247. That's the 24/7 sports site for Georgia Athletics. Jordan, great to hear from you, man. I hope you're doing well, and I know you're staying busy over in Athens.
Definitely. I appreciate that, Jacob. And who would have thought that Georgia men's basketball would still be playing and Auburn is not?
Oh.
I have to admit, no. I mean, I was wrong, too. I had Auburn in my Final Four, so you just never know with basketball. It's a weird sport sometimes.
Yeah. Well, hey, you were over here long enough to know how passionate these Auburn fans are, and it's been a wild couple of days to start this week coming off that Auburn loss. And again, you were over here for a while, and you know what it's like when Auburn falls a little bit short of those expectations.
Definitely, and again, you know, it's part of what we all love about March Madness. You know, any team can get hot, but at the same token, the teams that, you know, we think are well positioned to make a run and maybe win a championship, you know, you have a subpar 40 minutes or even a rough stretch, and then you're watching the rest of the tournament from home.
Well, Georgia basketball, while they didn't make the NCAA tournament, they've been making some noise in the NIT with another big win last night. And we were talking before you got on here, just, you know, not every team accepts their invites. There's a lot of big-name programs that did not accept their invite to the NIT, but Georgia has, and they have taken advantage of it. And I think for this program, with how young they are and trying to establish themselves with Mike White, they've really, really taken advantage and looking good in the NIT.
Definitely, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Jacob, with this situation. Look, even if they lose in the semifinals, they'll play next week. On Tuesday night, you know, no one's going to throw a parade. No one is going to, you know, lose their mind because Georgia made an NIT run. But this was a really nice proof of concept, especially with the younger guys. They've had three freshmen who have been in the starting lineup the last probably five or six games at this point. So to show the people who are on this roster and the people who could potentially be on this roster, look, we had, you know, when we are clicking on all cylinders, we can be a really competitive team. I mean, I think they were an 8.5-point underdog at Ohio State on Tuesday night. I think they were like a 9.5-point underdog on Sunday at Wake Forest. So, I mean, they've beaten some pretty good teams in this tournament. And again, you know, it was a situation, you know, Mike White played basketball at Ole Miss with Keith Carter, who's the athletic director now. He really needs to send Keith Carter a gift basket. And say thank you guys for turning down the bid, because that's essentially how Georgia got in. Ole Miss decided they were going to turn their attention to the offseason and remaking their roster. Georgia's done a very good job of making the most of this opportunity and just sets up for a very interesting offseason in terms of what they're able to do in the portal. There's already buzz about potential targets and guys we could see. And I think that, you know, Mike White and his staff have more to sell just based on what they've done in these last 2 weeks and being able to go out there and beat some pretty quality teams.
Yeah, Jordan, you mentioned the word roster. That's what I was going to ask you. Potential targets for Georgia, and are there any rumors, rumblings about anybody on the current roster probably entering the portal and looking to transfer somewhere else?
You know, it's hard to say right now with them still playing. We know for sure that they're going to lose guard Noah Thomason, who's going to be a big loss. He's been playing great in this NIT. but also R.J. Sunahara, who's a forward, and Russell Chiwa, who's a center, because they're all out of eligibility. There's a few other guys that I'm expecting to leave. Again, I'm going to wait until the season's over to kind of put out there, but I do think we'll see a few guys leave. And as far as guys that they're targeting, there's a few names out there that we've seen through the first part of the portal being open really over this last week or so. And Kanan Carlisle, a guard from Stanford, I believe he's an Alpharetta native in Georgia. He's a guy that they've already reached out to. I think they're really pushing hard to try to get in the mix with him. And then really at this point, some of the other guys they've reached out to are actually from teams that they've played. Mount St. Mary's, they played Chattanooga last year. There's a forward from Chattanooga they've reached out to. So I'm expecting them to be really busy in the portal. We know at the very least they've got to go get a center because Russell Chiwa is their starting center and he'll be gone. Frank Anthony, who played really well last night, he could come back if he wanted to. He's got an extra year of COVID eligibility. But we know they need a center, and I'm anticipating they're going to need a little bit more. But I think they're in a good position, again, with this NIT run. And they got a five-star power forward, Asa Newell, coming in. I do think they have a lot to sell two teams or two guys that are in the portal and trying to figure out where they're going to play next.
I always like to ask you this question, Jordan, about the fans and the fan base of Georgia around this basketball team. I mean, are they still engaged? Are they still intrigued by the fact that, yeah, we're almost in April and Georgia basketball is still playing, or are they just kind of moved on from it, and if they win, great. If not, not a big deal.
Well, I think this NIT run has ignited the people who are at least paying attention this season because, you know, you went into this year and Mike White kind of set the expectations pretty high. I mean, he said that we've talked about the NCAA tournament with this team. And again, you know, it's been, I think, 9 years at this point since Georgia made the tournament. So I think there was some optimism going into the season. And then you looked at some of the opportunities they had leading Tennessee late, leading Alabama pretty well into the second half. And, you know, I think over the course of the season, some of that excitement died down with, especially in February. They had a really rough stretch. But I think the people who are wanting to get on that bandwagon and are holding out hope, I think they are paying attention right now. And, you know, just seeing it in some of the stories we've written in the last few weeks. Again, you know, it's not a Georgia football situation. It's not, you know, you're turning away people's, you know, at the gates of Stegman Coliseum. But, you know, I think I've said this on the show before, Jacob. You know, basketball is great for a lot of people who are primarily football fans because so much of the season comes after football season. Those fans got to have something else to do with their time.
Yeah, that's right.
They want Georgia to be a winner. I don't necessarily think this NIT run is going to, you know, lead to all the season tickets sold out for next season, but it's definitely a big step in the right direction as Mike White prepares for his third season in Athens.
Yep. Speaking with Jordan Hill from Dogs 247, there is football news. Georgia in spring practice. Looks like G-Day is going to be on April 13th. This time of year, you really don't want your players in the news, Jordan. UGA running back Trevor Etienne arrested for driving under the influence and posted bail, I believe, on Saturday at 4:35 a.m. What can you tell us about that? What can you tell us about the ramifications of his arrest and any comments from Kirby Smart that we haven't already read?
Yeah, he was actually arrested Sunday morning, but it's a situation, you know, as a guy that made a really bad mistake. Luckily, no one got hurt in the process. Kirby is not someone who comes out and says publicly what the punishment's going to be. I would anticipate at least a one-game suspension, which would mean that Trevor won't play in that season opener against Clemson. But Kirby talked to the media on Tuesday, the first time we've talked to him since the arrest. And, you know, he basically made the point that, look, Trevor's a good kid. He made a mistake, and, you know, he's got to own up to that mistake. But he's not going to let what he did define him. So, as I kind of put it, talking to a few other radio shows, you know, I think Trevor Etienne's going to become well acquainted with how many rows there are in Sanford Stadium. Going to be doing a lot of running, going to be getting in a lot of conditioning looked over by the coaching staff. But, yeah, it's a situation that, you know, should have been avoidable. And we talk all the time about, you know, Uber is a click away.
That's right.
You've got people within the program you can call if you need. It's just a young man made a bad decision. Luckily, no one got hurt, and I do feel pretty confident he will be punished, and he will think twice about making similar mistakes.
Yeah, ETN last year played for the Florida Gators. In the last couple of years, he was with them career 249 times rushing, 1,400 yards, 14. I mean, was he penciled in to be the starter?
Definitely. He came in with the notion that he is going to be the starter, and I even think after this, you know, albeit he'll probably miss that opener, he'll be in position to be the starting running back. And even saying that, you know, I think that you're going to see a lot of different backs involved. Roderick Robinson is a guy that's getting ready for his sophomore season, and he's gotten a lot of buzz this spring. They've got other guys as well, Andrew Paul. And by the time we get to the fall, they'll have three freshmen who are on the team right now. Chauncey Bowen's the only one that's an early enrollee. So, yeah, I think Trevor will be the starting running back. Again, we may not see him in that opener, but I think he'll be back and will be the lead back by the time the season really gets going.
With spring football underway, you've got G-Day, as Uncle T-Bone mentioned, coming up in just a couple of weeks. Any massive or just maybe storylines that Auburn fans would be interested in that we need to know, players to watch for, injuries to watch for, and just guys maybe emerging that we haven't heard of?
Luckily, the injury front's been pretty quiet for Georgia this spring. I mean, I think the biggest thing is just seeing some of the breakout guys. And to me, it starts at receiver. Colby Young is a guy that transferred in from Miami. I believe he's 6'3". And looking at him in person, you'd think he's even bigger. He has gotten a ton of buzz over the course of the spring. Then another transfer, London Humphreys, the guy they got against Vanderbilt. And Georgia's a team that when it goes in the portal, you can kind of tell they prefer to get guys they've seen live, guys that they went up against. And London Humphreys had a 49-yard touchdown on the opening drive of the Vanderbilt game this past season. So I kind of feel like they came out of that game and had London's name circled on a piece of paper and said, hey, we'll keep an eye out on this guy. And I think he's lived up to expectations. But, yeah, you know, I still think this spring, a lot of what's ahead is trying to see who wins some of these position battles, defensive tackle, cornerback, safety. We've heard good things about multiple guys, but we're still trying to see how this plays out. And even when we get to watch G-Day, you know, we'll get a better sense of it. But I think a lot of these competitions are going to go into fall camp and very likely into the season.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 with us here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. While we know exactly what the 2024 schedule for Georgia football looks like, we also got the opponents and the destinations for 2025 and for all the SEC teams, and it's pretty much just flipped, which was kind of a disappointment, I think, to some fans, and Kirby had a few things to say about that. But coming up in 2025, Georgia will host Kentucky, Alabama, Texas, and Ole Miss, and they'll be on the road for Auburn, Mississippi State, and Tennessee, and then the Florida game in neutral site. Was that a shock to you in kind of what Kirby's thinking about the newest schedule?
Yeah, as far as my perspective, I was really hoping that they would take a step forward and move to a 9-game schedule. I'll say that I understand sort of where Greg Sankey was coming from and sort of doing this in 2 years and saying, all right, everybody essentially gets a home and home. And I'm just really, really hoping they expand to a 9-game schedule by the time we get to 26. Kirby Smart, when we talked to him on Tuesday, I thought he made a fair point, you know, that he was excited about how the schedule sets up for 25 because he said, you know, I'm getting ready to play probably the hardest schedule in the country this year, and I think he's got a really solid argument at Alabama, at Texas. Georgia's one of just 4 teams that are going to be playing multiple playoff teams from this past season. So, you know, to play both, and then the only one of those 4 teams that played both teams on the road. So to get that paid back, I know Kirby is really excited about that, to have those home games. And who really benefits the most in that setup is season ticket holders, because if you look at some of Georgia's marquee games over the years, the regular season games, there's not been very many of them in Sanford Stadium. I mean, even looking to this year when that came out, there were a lot of fans that were upset that the Alabama game was in Tuscaloosa because the last time they played in the regular season was in Tuscaloosa. So, you know, again, I wasn't exactly thrilled that they sort of just decided, hey, we'll make this easy, and maybe in 26 we'll change things up. But Kirby Smart's definitely excited to get some of those marquee games at home. And I know fans that pay, you know, their hard-earned money to go to the games, they're super excited to get some of those big games in Sanford Stadium.
Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 covers the Dogs better than anybody for 24/7 Sports in the Georgia site, covering all things Georgia athletics. Man, it was great to see you a few weeks ago for the basketball game when you were in town, and I'm sure you'll be back very, very soon next time the Georgia and Auburn get together. Let everybody know where they can find you, find all your great work, and everybody else you got working with you at Dogs 247.
Definitely. Dogs247.com, on Twitter at Jordan Davis Hill, on Twitter at Dogs247. So, yeah, still covering men's basketball. We'll see how much longer this run goes, and going through spring practice for the next few weeks and seeing how things cap off once they get back into Sanford Stadium for G-Day on April 13th.
Well, we'll have you on throughout the spring periodically, because I know the NFL draft coming up. Got a lot of guys to talk about there. Transfer portal will be opening back up for football. So many more things to get updated on with Georgia athletics. We appreciate you, man. Thank you so much.
All right. See you guys.
That's Jordan Hill from Dogs 247. He's with us on Wednesdays for Rivalry Wednesday here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7.
Are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7, we appreciate Jordan Hill. Great to hear from him again. Talking a lot of things about Georgia basketball. And yeah, he normally doesn't work this late into the basketball season, but he is getting to do that right now, covering Georgia basketball. And he came in and reminded Auburn fans that, hey,
yeah, he did.
Georgia's still playing, and he didn't mean any harm.
The NIT, man, they sure do have a lot of, I don't know, DUI and driving problems over there.
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Do you know how ridiculous that is for any of them to get a DUI now over there?
I'm telling you. Or anywhere. Anywhere.
Well, a good point. I mean, in today's world with Uber, I can imagine that just about every school in athletic program, especially one in Athens right now, they're probably even offering up defensive driving courses over there.
I mean, they should.
And you can't call an Uber. I mean, come on, man.
Well, then, I mean, you had even with Georgia football, right? I mean, you had staffers that were getting involved with that as well, and that was a bad situation. And
it's a terrible scene and tragedy
for things that are so controllable, right? I mean, just
avoidable.
I mean, that's the word I'm looking for. Avoidable. They're avoidable.
You're the new guy on campus. You're penciled in as the starting tailback at the University of Georgia in the toughest schedule that they've had in a lifetime, because their schedule has been a cakewalk often as opposed to everybody else in the SEC, at least the Big Six, the original Big Six.
Yeah.
And part of that's Auburn's problem for being down. But hey, and Florida and Tennessee. But still, you know, look, you're new. You're coming in as the new guy. Everyone's kind of already looking at you like, well, you know, I've been here 2 years and worked my butt off, and you're going to get penciled in as the starter. And then you go out and make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you what, if he's not suspended for a game, I'll have a whole lot less respect for Kirby Smart. You know, at that point, you got to begin to make an example out of him.
I mean, at what point, and this is real, I'm not just saying this, at what point does the University of Georgia have to sit Kirby Smart down and say, get control of your program? Like, what are we doing, right? I mean, this has been a conversation for years on this show in particular, and then all across media, where it's like, man, this is unacceptable. Like, I know you want to win, and I know that I like to say on this program that winning cures all, because unfortunately, a lot of places it does, no matter what the situation. And that seems to be the case with Georgia football right now, where it's like, oh, you got players out getting arrested and getting caught up in legal trouble and people dying. But you know what? You brought two national championships, so just go have a talk with them, okay? Like, does that not rub you the wrong way when you hear that? At what point does winning not cure all? Does at what point does winning not become the biggest and most important thing when you've got lives at stake right here? And I haven't thought a whole lot about this until we started getting into it again, and it just reminds me how much it fires me up. Because you are putting lives at stake. People have died because of the Georgia football program and players that have been involved. Like, lives have been taken here. And what would have happened if ETN would have lost his life or have taken somebody else's life?
Oh, boy.
Would there have been more action? I don't know. For things that are so avoidable. That's the biggest word, avoidable.
The average fan for the University of Georgia is going to tell you three words, Jacob. Back to back. They don't care. And unfortunately, this is just another example of no matter what happens, the world just keeps spinning, whether there's a tragedy or not. And it's hard to accept the fact that in big-time college athletics, people are just willing to look the other way as long as your team's rolling.
And even if the fans do care, there's nothing they can do about it. I mean, this is administration. This is...
They could go crazy.
They could. Yeah.
You know, they can make enough noise to enact some real change. But do you think they're going to try and put some pressure on Kirby Smart? Get out of here.
Talk about things that are wrong with the world today. That's numerous. Hour number one in the book. Special guest joins us when we come back for hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Alongside me, as always, in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. If you missed any of hour number one as we get underway here in hour number two, you can go and catch up with the podcast at ESPNAU.com, or you can search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We talked with Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 back in hour number one and got caught up on everything going on around Georgia athletics basketball as the Dawgs still making a run through the NIT. We also talked about Georgia football as they have more legal trouble, it seems like, with the Dawgs and Kirby Smart. See if they can get that cleaned up. And then spring practice is underway in Athens as well. Plus, we continue talking a little Auburn basketball and college basketball as well. We're going to talk about the Sweet 16 coming up later on in this hour. So excited for that. As we are rolling into hour number two, and we're joined in studio by a guy that's made himself famous on the airwaves already today with Doug's show. And Doug talked about this guy and his product for a long time. Good friend of ours who stopped by, brought some samples. That's the only reason we let him in the door. He brought some samples of Uncle Keith Red Sauce. We got Keith Little joining us. What's up, man? It's so nice to have you in studio. You and I have known each other for a while now through Lee Scott and now through Uncle Keith Red Sauce. And people hear that ad, man. It's one of the catchiest ones we have on the radio.
Man, I appreciate that, Jacob. What's up, Uncle Tebow? How are you
What's
today?
Up, Uncle Keith? Welcome to the world.
Two uncles
studio.
In one room. What are we going to do?
ESPN 106.7. Your salsa is incredible. I absolutely love it. If you were listening to Doug's show earlier from 11 to 2 that precedes our show out of the ticket over in ESPN in the River Region, our sister station over there, he just lost it on air when he tried your salsa. So, you know, I know you can't give us all the secrets and how the salsa is made, but how did all this start, man? I mean, what's your story? I mean, how did you come up with this concept? And why salsa? And give our listeners a little taste of the Uncle Keith's Red Sauce story.
Man, great question. I'm glad you asked. I figured I love to listen to the show. It's one of my favorite shows on the radio.
Well, we appreciate that.
So I figured I would get in the door if I brought a case of salsa with me with some chips. It's something y'all could enjoy later on.
But that's right.
To get to your question, Uncle T-Bone, years ago, probably about 10 years ago, my wife and I, we always loved salsa. So we never could find anything in the grocery store that we, you know, really liked without having to add something to it to make it taste like what we wanted it to taste like. So we just started putting a bunch of ingredients together that we liked and came up with a formula that tastes real nice. And we started giving it away to our friends and our family and making a bunch of it during the holidays and for Christmas and things like that, and tailgates. And so as time went on, everybody was like, you need to sell this stuff. And I'd been in the insurance business for over 20 years. And I was like, there's no way I'm going to be a salsa salesman, but here I am today. So anyway, we the Uncle Keith's Red Sauce is a COVID baby. So we developed the whole marketing plan behind it during 2020. And found a co-packer in our industry. You can't just make it in your kitchen and put it out there. You have to have a co-packer.
I think there's some health concerns there sometimes.
You know, that's awesome to make like such a positive out of such a negative situation that COVID was, that brought so many industries to just a screeching halt and put people in the home to work from, and to get creative like that with your wife and your family. I just think that's the neatest story. And it says here on your website that after 5 years in making 5.5-cup batches in our small Black & Decker food processor, we finally decided to get serious about finding a contract packager, that's a co-packer, to help us convert our small community business to a full-sized operation. And now tell us about some of the stores that you're in now from just handing out those jars 5 years ago.
Absolutely. We're in Kroger. We're in Ace Hardware here locally and a couple of other local stores, Serendipity in Auburn. And I like to mention those local stores because those guys are the ones that got us, you know, really helped us get started. But
yeah, and University Ace is a huge partner with us here at Auburn Network.
Hey, yes. Speaking of a huge partner, my friend Jeff Dakota from SensaGreen, that's a proud sponsor of our show too, said that he saw you this past weekend in Kroger, Uncle Keith himself, doing some tastings. And he was like, man,
I
got
to
get
that.
A couple of jars of that.
Absolutely, man. And we have a big time with it. It's fun to get out there in the stores, meet a bunch of people and hand out the samples, and we're just trying to get the word out. Our biggest deal that we've had going on here lately is we did wind up getting in all the Publix in the state of Alabama.
That's big time.
So that's a start at least. And
Publix and Kroger, I mean, that's the two as big as it gets in the grocery store business.
Right,
and being here locally, that's something that I tell people all the time is sports aside, like, Auburn and Opelika folks are so loyal to people, to local businesses, local folks like you, that we love everything that's happening here. Like, we don't care what's happening and what's made in Minnesota or wherever the heck that stuff's at. Like, this is right here in town, and it's so good. My favorite part of it, it's so consistent. It's not super chunky. That's not my style. And this isn't. This is super consistent. It's got a little bit of a bite to it. And you've also got that spicy one. I was up there at Kroger the other day with you guys, and you gave one to a girl who said, I liked some spicy salsa. And she bit into it, and she didn't believe it when you told her it had a little bit of a bite to it. But she still enjoyed it. But it's just so good, man. I love it.
I appreciate that, Jacob. I mean, another couple of notables about the salsa is it has no sugar in it, no preservatives. We put no water or any thickeners in it. So what you get when you get 16 ounces of product, it's pure. And it's good.
You're getting 16 ounces of salsa.
That's correct.
That's
you're getting 16 ounces of salsa.
That's awesome.
Now, I first started buying Uncle Keith's Red Sauce when I worked in Dadeville about 10, 12 years until about 2021, and made the commute up there, and it was in Renfro's Market there. So if you're heading to the lake this summer, make sure you stop by Renfro's. They've been a proud partner for y'all for a long time, correct? And Piggly Wiggly.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Renfro's has been huge. Rob Renfro, yep. Man, just a great guy. He helped me get started. And
that's awesome.
You know, he patted the little guy on the back and said, hey, you can have as much shelf space as you want here.
There you go.
And so I'll forever be indebted and thankful to Rob for that.
Well, son, I was telling the folks when we got on here, you and I became friends and started knowing each other I've been calling Lee Scott for almost 2 years now. This is my third baseball season calling Lee Scott, and I had the privilege to call games for your son, Pearson, who was just a phenomenal player, even better kid, and that was really special for me to get to know you and your family. And man, now getting into the Uncle Keith Red Sauce side of things on the business, man, it's been a pleasure. And when you put out a good product and you take care of people, they come back and they're loyal, man. That's what's great about this market.
Yes, sir, man. And I'll tell you what, it takes partners like you guys too, you know, to really help it out. And like I said, we're just trying to get out in the community and meet as many people as we can. And so, man, it's been a fun journey so far. I hope it continues.
Oh, it's going to continue. I'll tell you about that. It's going to continue and only grow from here. Tell the people where they can. We're going to talk a little sports here in just a second.
Sir.
But tell people where they can find it. Uncle Keith Red Sauce. Where can they go? Where can they find it? Stores, online, everything. Tell the folks where they can get it.
You can get it at www.UncleKeithRedSauce.com. You can get it at Publix. You can get it at your local Kroger in Tigertown, the Kroger in Auburn, Ace Hardware, Serendipity, to name a few there, Renfro's Market out on Lake Martin, a couple of other little places out there on Lake Martin.
Awesome.
Bluff's Daiquiri Bar has it on Lake Martin.
Okay,
so
okay.
Pour your boat up there.
I've been there a few times.
Salsa. Yeah, get some chips and salsa. It'll be Uncle Keith's Red Sauce. So you know, it's you can just pretty much get it anywhere you want to locally now.
Looking at your website, Keith, I mean, at UncleKeithRedSauce.com, make sure you check it out if you're listening. That, you know, in today's inflationary world, some of these prices on stuff we get now is ridiculous. This is ridiculous, folks, and such a good deal. You can order a 3-pack and ship it all over the country to your friends and let them give them a little bit of that Alabama love. $21. $39 for a 6-pack of sauce. That's fantastic pricing, man. This is such a good deal. So if you can't get to the stores and you want to ship some to some of your friends, just go to UncleKeithRedSauce.com and ship them some Alabama-born stuff, man.
That's right. Well, hey, I said we're going to talk a little sports, and would love to do that before we take our first break. You're a baseball guy. You've been keeping up. Obviously, we got Lee Scott baseball. You've still got some boys playing Lee Scott, and Auburn baseball got a big win last night in the midweek, and now on the road this weekend taking on Texas A&M after starting with two of the toughest teams in the league, Vanderbilt and then Arkansas. I mean, the Auburn baseball schedule's just been brutal, Keith. It's been terrible.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it doesn't get any easier.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, you're going up against the likes of Vandy, starting off Arkansas and Texas A&M. Those programs right there are rich in tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to come after Auburn. So we got to be ready.
Yeah, and you got Tennessee still on the schedule and so many other squads. The SEC is so dominant compared to the rest of college baseball, more than any other sport the Southeastern Conference has. So that's going on. I know you're a basketball guy too, and we've talked a lot about Auburn basketball the last few days. I know you've been hearing a lot of that and saw what happened on Friday. What's kind of your breakdown and takeaway from what happened to Auburn basketball against Yale on Friday in the round of 64 of the NCAA tournament?
Well, my opinion, I'm going to say it real quick and I'm going to shut up. I'm not going to say anything else about it, but I felt like once we got the draw to go across the country, the entire focus on the whole thing was where we were going and how we were going to get to the next 2 days without winning a game that's in front of us. And
very well said.
I mean, that's one thing. And then we get out there and your number one player gets kicked out of the ball game. That's never a good look. So, I mean, it was just I think we got off on a bad start.
I couldn't agree more. I mean, we said it we didn't say it last week. We were just complaining about the draw as fans, and we knew the coaches were too, and they weren't real thrilled about it. It was like once that draw occurred, the air was taken out of the room.
Yeah.
And you just won a conference championship in the tournament, which is rare for Auburn. That was only their third. And the focus was Spokane, Washington, and going out there and being a 4 seed when we think we should be better, instead of the focus being the Yale Bulldogs.
That's right. That's right. Well, it is what it is. We've tried to begin today to flip that page and talk about, okay, it's the offseason. How can we avoid this next year, right? How can we prevent this with Auburn basketball moving forward? More conversations about that. A little bit of football talk as well. And then we're going to get into the Sweet 16, which begins tomorrow for the NCAA tournament. That's all going to come up here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We appreciate Keith Little, Uncle Keith himself, or Uncle Keith the Red Sauce. Go check it out. We're going to bust into a box out there and start trying some. I've had it a million times. I have 3 jars in my fridge right now because I just keep eating it. You just keep giving me some, and it's just so good. So y'all go check it out, UncleKeithTheRedSauce.com, or go to Kroger, Publix, any local store, University Ace Hardware. It's all in there. Hey, man, we appreciate you stopping by. You're going to be hanging out listening for a little bit, but we appreciate you jumping on the air.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you.
Uncle Keith Red Sauce, go check it out. We'll take a first break in hour number two. Come back, talk a little football and Sweet 16 as well here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line, Jacob Goins, Uncle T-Bone with you on ESPN 106.7. I told you we were going to jump into a jar of Uncle Keith's Thread Sauce, and that's exactly what we did. We were offered the hot jar, and Uncle T-Bone said immediately no, because we were going back on the air, and hey, your voice today you don't need any more limitations. We had somebody tweet at us earlier, and they told me I need to get you some salt water or a whiskey gargle to get that voice fixed today. Because
how about both?
They said, sound a little scratchy. And I said, yeah, allergies got the best of them today.
The allergies mixed with watching. Never mind. I'm not even going to go there. I'm screaming at the television. So, no, it definitely. Every spring this happens at some point. And I thought I had dodged it this year. And can't dodge that yellow dust out there that I'm breathing in from all those pine trees and oak trees.
Yeah, it's covering the cars, and it's got you with your voice. And, hey, man, it happens. It happens to all of us in radio. There was twice back in the fall, I think. It wasn't allergies.
Yeah, you were struggling, man.
I did. I got COVID back in the fall, and that knocked it out. And then there was another time within the same month, I'm pretty sure. It was 100% football season because you did the show solo one day.
Oh, that's scary.
On a Friday. Yeah, I was in here, though. Don't worry, folks. I was here because then I had to go call Lee Scott Football that night and was trying to preserve the voice as much as possible. So, look, it happens. It's pretty much the worst thing that can happen in radio is, lose your voice. But it'll come back. And, hey, you can at least still talk. You're just a little scraggly today, but that's okay. That's totally fine. Hey, we were talking with Jordan Hill earlier about Georgia spring football. But let's talk a little Auburn spring football as we are getting closer to A-Day next Saturday. Yeah. Can you believe it? That the spring game is next Saturday already. And last week we heard from Hugh Freeze, and I actually got the question in and talked and asked him, early in the spring they had those couple of the practices before they went on spring break and then came back, and he had talked about how his guys and this group of guys on the team were doing things the right way, and not necessarily in practice, right? They were keeping their lockers clean, they were showing up on time, and they were mingling with each other and just doing those things that he liked to see. And I asked him last week, I said, are they still doing that? And he said, yeah, they are. And those are things, Uncle T-Bone, it's doing the little things right that maybe people don't always see that end up adding up and paying off over time. And maybe that's what Auburn needs, because he said those things were not happening last year.
Boy, man, that's tough to hear about last year, but you could see it on the field. If you can't do the little things right, how can you do the big things right? If you can't just handle small tasks like showing up on time with a good attitude and ready to work, how are you ever going to have a successful career in anything? So, I mean, that's the first step in being a winner, right, is handling your business and doing the little things correctly. So hopefully that will continue. That needs to be for any kind of athletic department that you're running. That needs to be a culture.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a culture thing. So you got to get that right first, and then you got to go out there and got to recruit heavy talent that fits into that type of culture and make it more of a team thing, especially in football, than a me thing.
Absolutely. And you start looking at this team in particular and looking at some of the position battles. Look, we know that all offseason, throughout the rest of this spring and throughout the summer and into the fall, the main conversation is going to be the quarterback spot, right? Everybody wants to know, all right, who's it going to be? Hugh Freeze already said it's Peyton Thorne's job to lose, and everybody else is going to be chasing him. But you know what? I think there's a good chance they do chase him, and maybe they do get him, and maybe they do catch him and surpass him. I think that's very possible through the spring, summer, and into the fall. I don't think it'll happen before the fall, but I think you could see things happen over time that could allude to that. The other position on offense is the one that we have been screaming about for years, in the wide receivers. Who's going to catch the ball? Doesn't matter who's throwing the ball, Uncle T-Bone. It matters who's catching the ball. It matters who is actually going to go out and make the play, because the quarterback could put it on your hands. He can make the right play and have the right timing and make the right decision. But if they can't catch the ball or can't get open, then it just doesn't matter.
You know, we set the over-under last year at the end of the season of what, how many passes that were dropped that were very catchable balls for the entire season. And I think I settled on around 50, and you went over.
Yeah.
I heard a discussion earlier about whether or not Auburn would have enough playmakers on the outside, true playmakers, difference makers, to make a huge difference this season and really kind of take the next step in the progression of trying to get back on top of the SEC in college football. You know, I don't think that any of these guys, first and foremost, have to be a playmaker. They don't have to be Michael Irvin. They just got to catch the ball. And I've got confidence that the freshman coming in and the transfer portal players, the guy from California, the guy from Georgia State at wide receiver, are going to at least consistently catch the ball more and help Peyton Thorne out. Just think about in the Iron Bowl, a drop pass in the end zone cost Auburn that game late in the game. And just think about how many times Peyton Thorne had moments where the ball was on the money last season and the passes were dropped. That doesn't just affect the wide receiver's confidence in their play. That affects the quarterback's confidence.
Probably more. I mean, probably more. And look, Peyton Thorne had his fair share of bad plays. There were some bad interceptions thrown last year, and there were some bad throws. But at what point do you start saying, well, how can you have, like, you the confidence you're talking about? How could you have any confidence when every time you throw a good ball, it's about a 33% chance that the guy's actually going to catch it and make the right play? You talk about a drop pass in the end zone. How about the drop pass over the middle for Auburn to seal the Iron Bowl, for the game to be over? Like those things need to happen. And you mentioned a couple of guys, the transfers.
Those are the little things.
Those are the little things. That's right. Now,
fundamentals.
They're big-time moments, but if you do the right things and you grow the right way, you don't even think about it. It's just second nature to make those types of plays.
Yeah, I think a better way of saying that, what I said earlier, is to your point about the pass that was dropped in the Iron Bowl across the middle that would have sealed the game. If you can't do the little things, how are you going to have big moments?
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a huge moment. I mean, that would have been it.
that would have been a massive moment.
We'd still be rolling Toomer's Corner probably. So I expect the play to improve significantly at wide receiver, which I think will get Auburn at least one additional win throughout the season. And, Jacob, I think that Peyton Thorne, unless he just goes, unfortunately, Aiden Holloway, like in basketball, and loses his confidence, and I think Aiden Holloway can get his confidence back, by the way, unless he loses his confidence and almost gets the yips, will be your starting quarterback next season.
He should. I mean, that's what the expectation is that Peyton Thorne's going to be your starter. And reading through and going to some practices and seeing some things and hearing things, a couple of transfers that have really stood out, you mentioned these guys. Robert Lewis from Georgia State has gotten some really good time early on, getting some early praise for his practice during the spring. And a guy that, look, he was very underrated coming out of high school, didn't get any really big offers, and went to Georgia State and lit it up. And now he's got a chance to prove it at the SEC level. Now, I know that is give some fans some PTSD from North Texas and even Georgia State and other receivers that came in a year ago that we were hyping up and trying to see what they were going to become. And let's be honest, put a lot of stock into that just didn't pay off for Auburn this past year. But I think this one could be different. It could be different with Robert Lewis, who is just a stud, man. You just watch him play. He's got the IQ. Hugh Freeze has said some really good things about his knowledge and just knowing the game and understanding the fundamentals of being a wide receiver. So I think he is going to be really exciting. And then the other guy coming in that Daryl Dapridge has talked a lot about is Sam Jackson, the guy coming in from Cal, right? The quarterback slash receiver coming in from out west. And people love this guy because he's just so unique. He's the Swiss Army knife type of player. You just don't really know what all he can do. And Auburn just has him like a piece of clay to kind of mold exactly what they want from him.
Yeah, he was a tremendous athlete. We saw him last year when Auburn went out to Berkeley in that late night game on ESPN. Look, I think that he has all the intangibles size-wise. How will he acclimate to the SEC? He'll definitely be given his opportunity to become a true weapon for Auburn. I'm not buying into the hype for anybody, though, this year, Jacob. I refuse to do it because last year I went full hype. You know, I went, the guy from Jackson State's going to, you know, get 10. The North Texas folks wrote me in, and I thought Auburn was going to have one of those magical seasons in the first season like Terry Bowden did, like Gus Malzahn did. And we're back, baby. We're going to be all okay. And I'm not doing it this year. I'm in full-blown see-it-to-believe-it mode.
You're in defensive mode right now.
From what I saw last year, and it's nothing to this coaching staff and the job they're doing, what I'm saying, is that roster was so depleted. It is. I'm just going to preach patience even through this year. I think this team will have a little bit better record just off the top of my head right now, but be a lot better football team in its march to to getting back to being a championship contender. But it's just going to take time, Tiger fans. It's going to take a lot of it.
Yeah, it is. It is going to take time, and we'll see how the rest of the spring goes, the updates through workouts and non-team workouts through the summer, and then practices during the fall. We got about 30 minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Couple of updates on baseball and softball for Auburn, and then we'll jump into some Sweet 16 conversation when we come back here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open. Come on in and join us. We're talking whatever you want to talk about. Football, basketball, baseball. Need to mention some softball news coming up as well. And then we're jumping into some Sweet 16 action. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines. Inspector, you're on the line.
Well, am I premature to talk about Sweet 16?
No, go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, I got Alabama beating Clemson, and only to prolong the inevitable of them losing to Connecticut or North Carolina.
Well, Alabama plays North Carolina on Thursday. Alabama plays North Carolina tomorrow night at about 8:40.
Yeah, if they happen to get past North Carolina, they ain't getting past Connecticut.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough for Bama to win it all, but they've gone this far, and they have, they can score with anybody, and if Alabama were to win and beat North Carolina, they would play the winner of Clemson and then Arizona, and they would not see UConn until the Final Four.
Yeah. Well, listen, my bracket was absolutely destroyed in the East, but I was all right in the other brackets, but I revamped them and came out. But you know, Purdue and Connecticut, you know, let's take Purdue first. You know, they beat six of the tournament teams already. Not in the tournament, but in regular season.
Mm-hmm. Out of the Big Ten.
And Connecticut has beaten five of the Connecticut.
Alabama in the regular season?
That was one of those three games in a row where Bama played what, like Creighton, Purdue, and Arizona all in a row?
Yeah, Purdue played Gonzaga, Tennessee, Marquette, Alabama, Arizona, and Illinois and beat them all.
Yeah.
That's in regular season.
That's impressive.
Connecticut played Texas, Gonzaga, Creighton, Marquette three times. And Northwestern, they beat them in regular season. But I will say they lost to Connecticut, lost to Kansas in the season, and you know Kansas is already out.
Right. Yeah. And Kansas was limping into the tournament, man. They had all sorts of injuries. And apparently Bill Self was thinking about next season and wasn't too worried about the NCAA tournament, Spector. I don't know if you heard those comments.
Yeah. No. Listen, Purdue also lost to Arkansas and Nebraska.
Spectre, give us your revamped Final Four out of this Sweet 16 current bracket.
Well, I've got Connecticut and Purdue going all the way anyway.
Okay.
If you want the others, I got North Carolina, Arizona meeting. I got Illinois and UConn meeting, and I got Houston. Hold on a minute, Houston and Marquette.
Okay.
And Purdue and Tennessee.
I mean, I think that's a solid. Those are solid picks to get to the Elite Eight, and that's a powerful Elite Eight. Let me tell you that.
But I tell you what, I was really didn't really want to put Purdue in there, but gosh dang, they've been consistent.
Yeah.
So Gonzaga's on a roll.
Yeah, well, Gonzaga's playing good basketball. Spectre, thank you so much for the call. You can get in also 334-321-1390. I'm going to have to fade my man Spectre on that North Carolina State Marquette game. We might as well just jump right into it, Jacob.
Oh, you're taking the Wolfpack?
I am taking
to continue
the pack.
On?
I am looking at looking over at scoresandodds.com.
Oh, no.
And NC State and Marquette will go on CBS 6:09 p.m. Friday night. I will be watching that game. I love the Wolfpack. They are turning into America's team. Catching 6 and a hook versus Marquette. Marquette almost got beat and got by Colorado. They are not playing quite the basketball they were earlier in the season. I'm taking the Wolfpack and the points and the outright win. Let's go North Carolina State.
Oh, my goodness. That would be, what, 8 games in a row that NC State would win? That's 5 in a row. That's 5 games in 5 days of the ACC tournament to become ACC tournament champs to get in to the NCAA tournament. Then that would be them taking down Texas Tech in dominant fashion and then beating Oakland, a team who had Golkey, who was the story of the tournament, that just beat Kentucky a couple of days before, and now they're going up against the 2-seed Marquette out of the big bad Big East.
Yeah, they had to go into overtime versus Golkey in Oakland to get past them, and that was that's a team that's playing outstanding basketball, very fundamentally soundly coached as well. And on the opposite side of that, though, the Houston and Duke, I think Houston is just suffocating people right now.
I think Houston rolls.
I agree.
What's
with
the line
you
on that one?
Let me check that out real quick over at trustyscoresandodds.com. Houston's playing some fantastic basketball. They'll go off at 8:39 on Friday. Be watching that game as well. Giving Duke 4.5 points, that's way too little in my book.
Does that smell bad, Uncle T-Bone?
No, I don't think it's cologne. I just think that Duke gets a lot of credit for having that Duke brand. Look, Duke's playing good basketball. They're playing a lot better than they were in the ACC tournament.
They rolled over James Madison. Rolled.
I mean, they Rickrolled James
Beat
Madison.
Beat him almost 40.
But I just think that Houston is one of those teams that's going to make the Final Four out of this Sweet 16.
That's what we're talking about right now is the Sweet 16. Give us your picks. If you redid your bracket, which most of you did, I'm sure, what are your Sweet 16 Elite 8 Final Four picks? I want to hear them. 334-321-1390. Let me say this about the brackets, though.
Okay.
The bracket that I filled out on this show was terrible. It was abysmal. I mean, it's destroyed. It is... I think it is
that thing's in a shredder somewhere.
Yeah, well, too bad you can't shred it online on the tournament app or whatever app you want to use. That one's at 25%, ranked at 19.7 million in the country. So, you know, we're rocking and rolling with that one. I have another one that's at 32% at 17.8 million in the country. But the one that I did not do on the show, but it is electronically, it is proven, there is a fact, it's not my fake paper bracket, okay? It is ranked 646,000 in the country at 97.5% right now. That's pretty impressive. I don't care who you are, that's an impressive bracket. And it's got Marquette winning it all, winning the national championship. 97.5% at this point, still pretty impressive. Give me a little props here.
Yeah, I mean, okay, Jacob, whatever, man. Allegedly, 97%. Having Marquette.
97.5.
Okay, thank you. Having Marquette winning it all. You know, Marquette could get by NC State, no doubt about it. But ain't no way Marquette's winning it all, bud.
Well, that's what I want to do is I want to make our Sweet 16 picks based off of right now.
Okay.
And right now it's UConn taking on San Diego State. We were hoping it was going to be Auburn, but it is what it is. Look, UConn is playing just really, really good right now. And there's a reason that we were all worried about this matchup, the potential matchup for Auburn against UConn. They have one of the better chances to go back-to-back for a team that I've seen in a long, long time. And they are going to beat San Diego State. That's a gritty team. That's a defensive team. Mm-hmm. One that just whopped Yale in the second round and also beat UAB in a barn burner. But I'm taking UConn. I'm not betting against Danny Hurley in the Huskies. Give me UConn. Give me UConn big.
Do you think that they'll beat San Diego State by more than 10.5? Because that's the current line. I think that they pull away late. That's a good San Diego State team that would have been a really good game against Auburn had we gotten past Yale.
I'm taking San Diego State with the points.
Yeah, you know, that could turn into a rock fight. These two, I believe that's these two were in the finals last year. They were. Right?
This is a rematch for the national championship.
San Diego State's got a tremendous amount of experience on that team. They're very well coached, 26-10 on the season. I just think that this will be one of those games where UConn just slowly suffocates them and takes care of business and gets that cover late. I like UConn by about 15 in this game, but for the majority of the game, it'll seem like it's a lot closer.
Iowa State and Illinois. Iowa State, the 2 seed. Illinois, the 3 seed. I've been on Iowa State coming into the tournament and been pretty hot on them, and I've had them picked to make the Elite Eight. But Illinois's played really high level. I mean, they've dropped 85 on Morehead State and 89 against Duquesne, back-to-back double-digit wins by 20-plus, and Iowa State had to fight off the Cougars of Washington State. I'm losing a little confidence in Iowa State, but what I trust more is Illinois to drop the ball once again in the NCAA tournament. I'm taking the Cyclones out of the Big 12.
Illinois is definitely playing better basketball. I mean, they barely kind of squeaked past. Wisconsin had them dead to rights in that Big Ten championship game. They had them dead to rights, and Illinois showed some real grit and came back and won that game and took control of it late. The boys in Vegas have lost a little confidence in Iowa State as well. They're giving Illinois 1.5 here. I've been on the Cyclones too. I'm going to go ahead and pick them, but I'm a little shaky on that pick. Illinois just kind of seems like they've gotten it together and just are in that refuse to lose mode.
Yeah, so I have UConn and Iowa State and then Houston and Marquette. I'll go ahead and tell you my final four out of that. As of right now, give me UConn and give me Houston. I mean, I know that's the chalk pick, but I think those two are just playing better than most right now.
Yeah, I've got Iowa State and UConn as well. I've got UConn going to the Final Four. That's no real shocker. Houston over Duke. I've got NC State in the big upset over Marquette straight up. And their Cinderella story ends in the Elite Eight. And what a run it was. And that'll be a good game against Houston. DJ Burns is a heck of a player for the Wolfpack. But Houston's just too strong. I mean, they've proven that. They just look really good right now.
Yeah, they do. Moving to the bottom portion of the bracket. Two of these games are the ones I'm looking forward to the most. We'll get to those in just a second. Any chance that Clemson continues this run and takes down Arizona? That's another squad in Arizona that has disappointed time in and time out of the NCAA tournament, and I think they've had higher aspirations than the Sweet 16. And Clemson, a team that I did not give any chance to get here. I had them losing to New Mexico, and New Mexico to be in this spot in the Sweet 16. But I don't know, man. Do we pick Clemson just because Arizona beat our Dayton Flyers? That may just be a petty pick.
That's a good Dayton Flyers team that Arizona beat. I didn't have Arizona hardly doing anything in this tournament, going out early to Nevada. They've played really well in both of their NCAA matchups. Clemson jumped on Baylor early. They let Baylor get back in that game late, and they kind of held on and slightly pulled away right at the end. I like Arizona here, Jacob. Let me check that line real quick. That game is on Thursday, and we'll kick it off at 6:09 over on CBS tomorrow night. Arizona giving Clemson 7.5. I'll take Arizona with the W there. I'm not sure if they cover.
Yeah, I'll take Arizona as well. And Spector was talking about this team, Purdue and Gonzaga. Look, I said it earlier in the week, and I'll say it again. props to Gonzaga. They got to the Sweet 16 again. They're good at making runs. They're just not good at winning at all. Purdue and Zach Edey are too much for Gonzaga. I'm taking Purdue. It'll be a good game. It'll be down to the wire, but I'm going to take Purdue, the Boilermakers, to get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga upsets Purdue here. It's about time for Purdue to go ahead and choke it on up. Gonzaga and Mark Few are a heck of a good tournament team historically, although they don't get it done. They win a lot of games and get deep. I really like Gonzaga here to take not just the cover, catching 5.5 on Friday night. I got them winning this game outright.
You did that out of spite. That's what you did. You picked Gonzaga just because I picked Purdue. And you picked Gonzaga because you know my feelings about them.
I just don't know why you're so hard on them. They're a good team. And also, I got them in my bracket running deep, so I might as well keep rolling with them.
Well, the two games that I'm looking forward to the most in the Sweet 16, Creighton in Tennessee, North Carolina, Alabama. We'll take our final break. We'll talk about those when we come back and wrap up the Wednesday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Wednesday edition of On the Line. We appreciate you all being with us on the show today. Whether you've been here all 2 hours, one segment, three segments, doesn't matter. We appreciate you being with us. It's been a great show. We're wrapping up the segment here as we continue with our final two picks of the Sweet 16. And this is our revamped picks. All right, these are reevaluated, revamped. These aren't what we had in our original brackets because those were terrible. The two games coming
up. Somebody's was more terrible than mine.
I don't know whose that was. Hey, again, the Fact. One that I did on the show was terrible. It was horrible. It
and
was so bad.
That's the only one that matters. So let's get on to Creighton in Tennessee, buddy.
Yeah, the two games that I'm most excited for, one's tomorrow and one's on Friday. Creighton in Tennessee on Friday. The 3-seed Blue Jays, the 2-seed Volunteers. This has potential to be an all-historic type of game. I mean, this is going to be two teams, one that likes to shoot, run up and down the floor, plays hard-nosed physical basketball out of the Big East. The other one is Rick Barnes of Tennessee that like to play heavy defense. They have a Dalton Connect and you don't. This is going to be a really, really fun game. Friday night, 9:09, late night on Friday.
Yeah, that one's going to be over on TBS. Tennessee came out a 3.5-point favorite. That line has dropped to 2.5 in my bracket that we originally filled out. That's way better than your bracket, Jacob. I had Creighton go into the final game, upsetting Tennessee here, upsetting Gonzaga. Yeah, after they take care of business against Purdue. So I'm going to keep rolling with the Blue Jays. I love how Creighton plays. I love their style of basketball. They're a sneaky one of the best teams in the country. And I think they're just going to pull away from Tennessee. I'm not sure that Tennessee's played a team like Creighton yet this year.
I don't know, man. And you know me. I love the Big East. I do. I love the Big East. And in my bracket, I actually have Creighton and Tennessee in this matchup, and I pick Creighton. I'm going back to the original bracket, not my good one. I'm going back to the one I did on the show. I have Creighton beating Tennessee in this Sweet 16 matchup, and I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to take the Blue Jays. I don't know how great I feel about it, but I'll stick with it just because I picked it here on the show. So I'll take the Blue Jays who, look, if I was into the whole for fun purposes only entertainment betting thing, I would not touch this game because it's a true coin flip for me. I have no idea. You could tell me if you were from the future and came back and said, hey, Creighton won. Hey, Tennessee won. I'd believe you either way. I mean, I don't feel strongly about either one of these squads.
There's been a lot of great basketball games played in the tournament thus far, but this one does really kind of have that eye test just looking at it on paper that this might be the game of the tournament.
It very well could be, and I'm excited to see what happens. So that's on Friday, but the game tomorrow that a lot of fans of this show and in this town and in this state are going to be watching is Alabama and North Carolina, the 1-seeded Tar Heels, the 4th-seeded Crimson Tide, 8:39 on CBS. Can Alabama do it? Can they get another win? And they're in their back-to-back Sweet 16s with Nate Oates. Can they get to the Elite Eight by taking down one of the biggest blue bloods in the whole entire game, the North Carolina Tar Heels?
Of course they can. I mean, any of these teams that are in the Sweet 16 right now could make a run and win the national title. You don't get here without being the type team that can win under pressure in a tournament. Alabama is a I mean, look, I'm going to be pulling against them because they're my rival, just about like everybody else in Auburn, just like they'd be pulling against us. But tip your hat to Nate Oates. I mean, after getting blasted out of the SEC tournament, one and done, and that was an ugly loss against Florida, they have toughened up. Mark Sears is playing some of the best basketball in the country out of anybody right now. They can beat North Carolina. There's no question about it. The bookmakers have this thing at the Tar Heels only giving Alabama 3.5. Seems a little low to me. But, you know, I mean, I picked North Carolina to win my bracket. I'm going to go with the Tar Heels to get the victory. But I would not be shocked at all if Alabama took care of business here, Jacob.
The one thing that North Carolina has going for them is they play really good team defense. They're only averaging and giving up 70 points a game this year in playing an Alabama team that I couldn't tell you the last time they scored less than 80 or 85. I mean, it's been a long time, and they can score 100 if they need to. And North Carolina can also score. They're top 30 team in the country in scoring at 82 points a game. Alabama, we know they can't stop a toddler. So if North Carolina can play a little defense and run and play for a few minutes and be locked down on that end of the floor, North Carolina should run away with this game. They won't, but I do think the Tar Heels win, because when it comes down to it, yes, Mark Sears is an unbelievable player, and he's the reason that Alabama's playing North Carolina. No, they're going to find a way with those lengthy guards to kind of shut him down just a hair, make sure he doesn't go off for as much as he did, and make sure he can't carry them and will them to another victory. I'm taking North Carolina because they're the better team than Alabama. But Nate Oates and the Crimson Tide can get hot and absolutely beat North Carolina. I'm just taking the Tar Heels because of the defense they play and the lack thereof on Alabama.
In those two games, we both have North Carolina and Creighton. I have Creighton going to the Elite Eight, playing Gonzaga, and then taking care of business against the Bulldogs. I have North Carolina and Arizona, and I like North Carolina to go to the Final Four after that. This Arizona team, though, playing much better basketball than I gave them credit for going into this tournament. They're pretty solid as well.
That would give me what? Arizona and North Carolina on that side. That would give me Creighton and Purdue. I'm going to take Purdue as a one seed, which that really scares me, because that also gave me Houston the one seed and UConn the one seed. And my gut pick tells me to go with North Carolina, but that would give me 4-1 seeds in the Final Four. So I can't do it. There's going to be an upset somewhere. Right, oh, yeah. There's going to be one somewhere. And it's funny because I think I mentioned this at the start of the tournament. With all of the upsets that happen all season long and the upsets that we knew were coming in the NCAA tournament, I think I said this, where there was a real possibility that the first few rounds were going to be chaotic, but then the top teams in the country, the cream of the crop, were going to rise by the end of it. And I very well think that could happen here with the 1 and 2 seeds. I'll take Arizona. And to heck with it, I'll take Creighton too. That'll give me 2-1 seeds, a 2-seed, and a 3-seed to make the Final Four. Those games will be tomorrow and Friday. I'll talk some more about those. Brad Law from the Auburn Sports Network will join us. Chris Gordy back on the show tomorrow as well. So excited about that. And then you'll be with me on Friday. We'll be on location. We'll talk some more about that tomorrow.
Yep, we'll be at Fairway Auto Brokers on Friday. So be there, be square. Thank you so much to Uncle Keith.
Yes,
Keith,
yes.
Little for coming in studio. Your salsa is fantastic. Red sauce, baby. Get some.
That's right.
It's good, y'all.
That's right. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.